Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, What's New in IMS Database Recovery. Today's teleconference will be recorded, will last approximately 60 minutes, and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll learn about important new features in IMS 10 for DBRC. The speaker for today's teleconference is Sally Gehring, IMS DBRC Advisory Software Developer. Mitchell Dooley, IMS Tools Development, IBM Software Group, will also join us for the question and answer session. At this time, I would like to hand it over to our speaker, Sally Gehring.
Thanks. I'm Sally Gehring, and I've worked in IMS for more than 20 years. Mitch Dooley will be with me later to do question and answers regarding the tool that I'm going to talk about. Now, let's get started. Next slide. Here's the agenda of what I'll be talking about. First, we'll start with DBRC and what's new in DBRC. We'll talk about image copies, the support for them, DBRC timestamp precision changes, recon read-only access, the DBRC API, parallel recon access, and then I'll talk about the latest FTEs that are from DBRC involvement. And then I'll talk about what's in database recovery facility. To slide three. The DBRC changes I'll be reviewing will be based on version 10. Slide four. There are image copy enhancements in three areas. Two are for the Image Copy 2 utility, and one is for the support of fuzzy user image copies. These are explained on the following slide, to slide 5. The IMS version 10 Image Copy 2 utility has an option to invoke fast replication. Fast replication uses the DFS MS DFS copy command with the fast rep parameter. This means that the database dataset must reside on a storage system which has a fast replication capability. This is either a flash copy capability or a snapshot capability. The input dataset, the database dataset, and the output dataset, which is the image copy dataset, must reside on the same storage system. This is a requirement for both flash copy and the snapshot. These datasets do not have to be on the same logical subsystem of an ESS system. Both fuzzy and clean image copies are supported. Unlike the concurrent copy process, the fast replication copy process is not split into a logical copy phase and a physical copy phase. If you are creating a clean image copy, the database is unavailable for the duration of the copy process. However, the fast replication process is comparable in speed to the logical copy phase of the concurrent copy process. The Image Copy 2 utility does not require a DD statement for the image copy dataset. This dataset may be allocated dynamically by the utility. The database recovery utility has been enhanced to accept fast replication image copies as input. These datasets are restored using fast replication if possible. Now, the benefits that come from this is that Image Copy 2 fast replication produces exact copies of the database dataset with a single-phase copy operation. Typically, these copies are done in seconds. This produces a very fast image copy with minimal unavailability time for clean image copies. Fast replication may also be used to create fuzzy image copies. And, of course, we have full DBRC support for GenJCLIC and GenJCLRecov. On to slide 6. DFS-MS-DFS has the capability to allow users to change the default actions of its functions. For example, you can change the default wait and retry values for serialization of system resources. You can also allow DFS-MS-DFS to continue when it discovers a VSAM data CA which does not have a corresponding index CI. So DFS provides a patch area where you can set values to change the default action. In previous releases, users of Image Copy 2 had to zap a module to use the set patch capability. IMS version 10 has added a set patch control statement to invoke this capability. GenJCLIC has been enhanced to support the generation of the new set patch control statement, and it's much easier to use. On to slide 7. Fuzzy user image copy support. IMS version 10 has added support for the fuzzy user image copy. User image copies are copies of database datasets that are done without a DBRC interface. Typically, these are done with utilities that are not IMS utilities. In previous releases, IMS supported clean user image copies. IMS version 10 adds support for image copies taken while the database dataset is being updated. The support has two parts. First, the notify UIC command has been extended to include a specification of a fuzzy image copy, sometimes called a concurrent image copy. And second, the gen.jcl recov command has been extended to generate the appropriate JCL to include the correct logs for recovering using fuzzy user image copies. On to slide 8. IMS version 10 will use timestamps to the microsecond when MinVerse 10.1 is in effect. Previous releases used timestamps to the tenth of a second. When a user specifies a timestamp, it may be abbreviated. That means that times to the microsecond do not have to be specified. Unspecified parts of the time are padded with zeros. However, DBRC commands that use timestamps to locate specific records must use the full timestamp. And the benefits we see from this is that the finer granularity of timestamps can avoid some potential duplicate timestamp problems that we've seen in DBRC before. On to slide 9. The output from a DBRC list command includes full precision timestamps. In previous releases, the timestamp in the listing included only tenths of a second. If you request the time zone offset to be listed, it follows the timestamp. Since the timestamp is larger by 5 bytes, the offset is moved by 5 bytes. In general, there were at least 5 blanks following timestamps in listings from previous releases. This means that other information did not have to be moved for full precision timestamps in version 10. The exception is the timeline information in the listing created by a list history command. The timeline at the end of the list history output still has only tenths of a second. There was not enough room to add the additional 5 bytes to these timestamps in the list history listing. DBRC commands use full timestamp precision when MinVerse is set to 10.1. It's slide 10. The database change accumulation utility DBO and DB1 control statements have been modified to support timestamps with greater precision. The new expanded timestamp format may be used in version 10, but it is not required. DBO control statements are used to specify the database datasets that are accumulated to the new change accumulation dataset. DB1 control statements are used to specify the database datasets that are written to the new output log dataset. Since the timestamps now may occupy more columns in the control statements, the position of the database dataset DD name have moved and only 3 may be specified on one control statement. In previous versions, the timestamp was specified in columns 12 through 37, and the DD names were in columns beginning in 38, 47, 56, and 65. In version 10, the timestamp uses columns 12 through 42, and the DD names are now in columns beginning at 43, 52, and 61. And if the database has more than 3 data sets that are in the same change accumulation group, multiple control statements are required in version 10. The version 10 example shows 2 control statements to replace the first control statement in the version 9 example. 2 control statements are required because 4 DD names are specified. The version 10 example shows the greater precision timestamp. The last control statement in the version 10 example does not specify the greater precision timestamp. GenJCL.ca has been updated to create the new format of the control statement. These changes to the control statements will have no effect on users who create change accumulation JCL and control statements using the GenJCL.ca command. And this is the vast majority of IMS installations. To slide 11. Now we will review the changes to the database recovery utility. The S control statement is used to specify the database and the DD name for the database dataset that is to be recovered. If the recovery is a timestamp recovery, a timestamp is also specified. The new expanded timestamp format may be used in version 10, but it is not required. In previous releases, column 57 was used for an indicator. The indicator could specify that a user image copy had been restored or that an RSR receive was done. Since the timestamp may use column 57, the indicator is now coded in column 63 when needed. The first example for version 10 shows the use of the expanded timestamp. The second shows the use of the shorter timestamp. Both examples have the C, which indicates that there is no image copy input. There is another small change in the coding of the timestamp. In previous releases, there was not a space between the time and the sign for the time zone offset. In version 9, example on this page, the sign is in column 50. In version 10, there is a blank between the time and the sign for the offset. In the two examples on the page, the blank is in column 55 for the first V10 example and column 50 for the second example. GenJCL Recov has been updated to create the new format of the control statement for timestamp recovery. The change in the control statement will have no effect on users who create database recovery JCL and control statements with genjcl.recov, and this is the vast majority of our IMS installations. To slide 12. IMS version 10 adds recon-only support for the recon. This is invoked with the PARM read-only on the execute statement for the DBRC utility, which is our DSP-URX00 job, or by specifying the new read-only equals yes parameter on the DBRC API func equals start DBRC macro. When read-only is specified, the recons are open for read. This means that only read authority is required for SAF. Users do not have to be given control authority to list the recons. To slide 13. IMS version 10 has made another change to open for recon datasets. Due to this change, control does not have to be specified for users who update the recons. Only update authority is required. Of course, alter is still required for users who delete and define the dataset. In previous releases, DBRC opened the recons with control specified in the VSAM ACB for the recons. This required control authority for open. In IMS version 10, the open has changed. If read-only is not specified, the open is done for update, but control is not specified in the ACB. This means that only update authority is required. To slide 14. The DBRC API has been enhanced in IMS version 10. The DBRC API was introduced in IMS version 9. It provides a released independent assembler language interface for querying the data in the recon. This interface may be used as an alternative to parsing the output of a list recon command or to reading the recons using VSAM macros. The output of the list recon typically changes with each IMS release. The contents of recon records often change with IMS releases. Both of these factors make it necessary to change programs with IMS release changes when these techniques are used. The DBRC API does not have these problems. Its output is consistent across IMS releases. In IMS version 10, updates to the recons may be done by using the interface to issue the init, change, and notify DBRC commands. The query command has been enhanced to do queries directly for databases, data sets, and partitions without querying the database. Queries for logs may be done for a range of logs by including the from time and or a to time. Multiple sets of recons and ACB live may be processed more easily through specifications of alternate DB names for these data sets. In version 9, only recon 1, recon 2, recon 3, and IMS could be used for these DB names. This meant that programs which needed to access multiple recons were forced to dynamically allocate alternate recon data sets. In IMS version 10, alternate recons may be specified using alternate DD names. Since some DDIC commands access ACB Live, a similar facility has been added for alternate DD names for the ACB Live. This allows users to include multiple recons and ACB Live in their DD statements. IMS version 10 allows DDIC API programs to register as subsystems and authorized databases, partitions, and areas. This can be used by DDIC API programs, which would provide utility functions such as image copies, reorganizations, and recoveries. SAF security, such as RACF, is now invoked by the DDIC API. Queries are treated like list commands, and this protects DDIC API commands and queries using the same facility that is used for the DDIC commands. These enhancements provide a more complete API interface for users and those who develop IMS tools. To slide 15. Parallel Recon Access, we call it PRA, is a new optional capability in IMS version 10. It allows multiple DDRCs to access the recons at the same time. PRA exploits transitional DSAM for the recon dataset. This allows multiple DDRC instances with their online systems, IMS, batch jobs, and IMS utilities to access the recon datasets concurrently. Volume or global dataset serialization is not required. This reduces recon contention. The reduced contention provides for greater growth potential and increased throughput possibilities. The primary recipient of the benefit for most installations will be online systems, since they will suffer less interference from batch jobs and the utilities which are accessing the recon. Without PRA, each DDRC instance must take its turn in accessing the recon. Multiple DDRCs may have the recons open at the same time, but only one may do I.O. to the recon at any one time. This restriction is eliminated with PRA. Serial access uses reserves or global enqueues to serialize access to the recon. PRA eliminates this serialization. This reduces contention for the recon. It could provide better responsiveness, especially in situations where multiple online, batch, or utility executions of IMS are doing many IOs to the recon. SCI registration and automatic recon loss notification are optional with serial access. They are required with PRA. Serial processing maintains the status of the recon in the header and header extension records. Every access to the recon first has to check that the header and header extension information for the current status. PRA uses SCI communication to notify other DDRC instances of any change in the recon configuration. PRA does not access the header or header extension with every access to the recon. Serial processing has special handling for requests that require updates to multiple recons. This is needed to maintain integrity for multiple updates. It writes a MUP record to the header-header extension before doing its intended multiple updates and then deletes the MUP information after the intended multiple updates are done. PRA does not have this processing. It uses TDS to maintain integrity for multiple updates. If one or more recon records are updated, but the other records in the request cannot be updated, the TDS log is used to back out the updates that were made. Serial processing uses VSAM LSR, or Local Shared Resources, pools. Each DDRC instance has its own pool. These pools are invalidated at the beginning of each DDRC request. This is necessary because another DDRC instance may have modified the CIs that are in the pool. PRA does not use LSR pools. It uses the VSAM RLS pool in its LPAR. Parallel Sysplex buffer invalidations are used to invalidate only the buffers that have been updated by DDRC instances running in other LPARs. Cache structures are used in the invalidation process, and these cache structures also maintain copies of the recon CIs so that some reads of the recon datasets may be eliminated. And parallel recon access is always optional. To slide 16. PRA uses transactional vSAM. This is a system facility that is provided by DFSMS. Transactional vSAM provides locking, logging, caching, and commit coordination for vSAM datasets such as the returns. It requires and exploits parallel sysplex. PRA requires a parallel sysplex, including a coupling facility. This is true when all the DDRC instances are running in only one DOS system. PRA requires DFSMS-TDS, or I'll refer to it as TDS. This is an optional feature of DFSMS. There is a licensing fee associated with this feature. Special bids will be considered for IMS customers using the parallel recon access function who do not already have TDS to acquire TDS for the restricted use of IMS. TDS uses Resource Recovery Services, RRS. RRS is used for commit coordination. IMS use of RRS is not required. That is, the RRS equals Y, IMS execution parameter is not required. To slide 17. Since PRA allows recon requests to be processed in parallel, it potentially reduces recon contention. On the other hand, service times for individual requests may increase due to the overhead of locking, logging, and the coupling facility accesses that are required. Some service times may be decreased. This is due to the caching of recon information in buffer pools in the CF. PRA requires new operational procedures for recovery. There are new possibilities for failures when the TDS environment is used. PRA is optional in IMS version 10. It is specified for a set of recons, and there is a DDRC command for specifying PRA for a set of recons. Some recon data sets may use PRA, while others continue to use serial access. To slide 18. TDS is based on vSAM Record Level Sharing, RLS. RLS uses locking and data caching to provide data sharing capabilities for vSAM files used by CICS systems. It allows multiple CICS systems to concurrently update vSAM files. RLS relies on the logging, the commit coordination, and backup processing provided by CICS online systems. TDS adds its own logging, commit coordination, and backup support. This allows batch update jobs to share vSAM files between each other and CICS. PRA is using the same capability to allow multiple DDRC instances to do concurrent updates to the recons. RLS and TDS execute in the SIS vSAM address space. This is a system address space that is typically started at ZOS initialization. There is only one SMS vSAM address space per LPAR. It provides RLS and TDS services to all users in the LPAR. This includes all instances of DDRC. To slide 19. This is an illustration of DFSMS TDS environment with multiple instances of DDRC using PRA. There is a SIS vSAM address space in both ZOS systems. This address space provides TDS services to the DDRCs in the LPAR. The illustration shows that there is an IMS online system, an IMS batch job, it could be either DLI or DDD, and an IMS utility in each system. TDS uses the system logger and RRS. RRS also uses the system logger. The system logger has structures in the coupling facility. The vSAM address space also connects to the coupling facility for its own structures. These are cache structures and a lock structure. There are a pair of share control data sets, SHCDS, for the vSAM data set. These data sets contain information about the use of vSAM data sets that are being shared. There is also a spare for the SHCDS. Of course, there are the recon pair and the spare. On to slide 20. PBS has recovery capabilities to handle various kinds of failures. Each PBS instance has its own undo log, and there are log records which have before images of records. If a user of PBS, such as DBRC, fails, its uncommitted updates are backed out by PBS. The undo log is used for this purpose. If PBS fails, or the VSAM, or the SysVSAM address space fails, it is automatically restarted. When it restarts, it backs out any in-flight work and releases any locks held by the in-flight transactions. If a ZOS system fails, peer recovery is invoked. Backouts are done for the failed PBS by using another SysVSAM address space in the parallel sysplex. The locks held for the failed work are released. We'll have more information on this in later slides. To slide 21. This illustrates a PBS environment with DBRC users. When a DBRC instance accesses a VSAM record in the recon, the request is processed by PBS in the SysVSAM address space. The SysVSAM address space has its own buffers. The buffer pools are maintained in data spaces owned by SysVSAM address space. When using PBS, DBRC does not have its own buffers for recon processing. Instead, it uses the SysVSAM buffers. These buffers are shared with all users of SysVSAM address space. These are all the VSAM datasets in the ZOS system, which are using RLS or TBS. SysVSAM also uses cache structures in the coupling facilities. Each shared dataset is assigned to a structure. When a VSAM record in the SysVSAM buffer pool is updated, if it resides in buffers in other systems, those buffers are invalidated. This is done using the cross-invalidation capability associated with cache structures and parallel sysplex. The processing of VSAM requests, including lock requests, VSAM or SysVSAM has its own lock manager. It does not use the RLM. However, its lock manager provides functions similar to those provided by RLM for IMS and DBT databases. The owner of a lock request is the DBRC instance, and this is an IMS online system, an IMS batch job, or an IMS utility. Lock information is held in the lock structure in the CF. To slide 22. Peer recovery is the process of completing the work that was left in an incomplete state due to the failure of an instance of PBS. Peer recovery is done by another instance of PBS. Peer recovery occurs only in cases of system failures, not merely when PBS fails. When a ZOS system fails, a peer recovery instance of PBS is used to back out in-flight work and release locks. The ZOS system where peer recovery is run must have a primary instance of PBS running on it. Peer recovery is not automatically invoked unless Automatic Restart Management, ARM, is used to invoke it. Without ARM, an operator command is required to start peer recovery. ARM information is available in the ZOS DFSS PBS Planning and Operation Guide and in the ZOS MBS Setting Up a Sysplex. Peer recovery backs out the in-flight work of a failed system and releases the locks for this work. The peer does not accept new work. The peer recovery instance of PBS does the following. It registers with VSAM RLS and RRS as the failed instance of PBS and indicates to RRS that it is being restarted processing as the failed instance. It reads the failed instance's undo log to retrieve information about in-progress units of recovery. It invokes RRS to retrieve information about units of recovery status. It processes the log data and the information returned to RRS to determine to commit or back out units of recovery. It backs out in-flight work and releases logs for this work. When all outstanding units of recovery have been processed, it unregisters with RRS and VSAM RLS. The peer recovery instance of PBS registers as the failed instance in order to gain access to the failed instance's resources. This registration persists until peer recovery is complete. As a result, should the failed instance restart, it will be unavailable to initialize because its attempt to register will fail. And it may be necessary to restart TBS manually once peer recovery is complete. To slide 23. This example illustrates that peer recovery may be done on any GOS system which has a SysVPN address space with the current primary instance of TBS. Peer recovery does not require that IMSs using it be restarted. Of course, we would probably want to restart any failed IMS online system. The emergency restart of IMS1 could be done on any ZOS which has a TBS instance. It does not have to be done in the same ZOS system where peer recovery is being done for the failed instance of TBS. This is slide 24. Now we'll talk a little bit more about the definitions for TRA for IMS. TRA requires IMS version 10. To ensure that all users of a set of recons are using version 10, a minverse value of 10.1 must be specified for the recon. This prevents any lower release level of IMS from using the recon. SCI registration is required for TRA. This means that a CSL environment is required. Each system where an IMS using TRA will be run must have an SCI address space. Since SCI registration is required, the use of a DBRC SCI registration exit routine is recommended. This ensures that consistent registration is done by all users and eliminates the need to add the IMS plus equals parameters to the JCL for online systems, backup, and utilities. In addition to the IMS plus value, which is assigned by the IMS plus equals parameter of the exit routine, IMS version 10 has added the DBRC group ID. This ID may also be assigned by the exit routine, and the group ID will be explained a little later. If you use the DBRC IO exit routine, it must be updated. Some of the means of the fields of the exit have changed. And the primary users of the exit routine are products which track changes to the recon. Few, if any, installations write their own DBRC IO exit routine. To slide 25. If multiple recon data sets will be used in the same IMS Plex, the DBRC group ID must be used with parallel access. Different recon data sets in the same IMS Plex must have different DBRC group IDs. These IDs are used to distinguish which DBRCs use a set of recons when there are multiple recon sets being used within an IMS Plex. When upgrading recons from a previous release, the group ID defaults to 001. The DBRC group ID is also recommended for recons using serial access when automatic recon loss notification, ARLN, and is used. The IDs ensure that a reconfiguration of the recon is only processed by the DBRCs using that set of recons. So it is helpful. On to slide 26. Parallel recon access is turned on by specifying access parallel on the change recon or init recon command. It may be turned off with access serial. Serial is the default for the init recon command. Since PRA requires TBS, a complete TBS environment must be active when the command is issued. For example, the command must be issued on a ZOS system with a SysVPN address space, and the lock and cache structures must be defined. A good pair of active recons and a spare must be available when the change accumulates or when the change recon access parallel command is issued, and there cannot be an RSR tracking system when a change parallel access is made. IMS can remain up while changing the access of recons, either going to or from a parallel recon access. To slide 27. The list commands have new options with TRA. They are implemented with the concur static and quest keywords. These keywords are ignored when TRA is not being used. If the concur keyword is used, updates may occur to recons while the list is being produced. This can make the output inconsistent, since some records could be lifted before the change and some after. For example, a database might include an authorization for a subsystem record, but the subsystem record may not show the database is authorized to the data or the subsystem. When concur is used, a lock for a record is held only to the read the record. If the static keyword is used, the listing is consistent. For example, if a database record listing includes an authorization to a subsystem, The subsystem record will show the database is authorized to the subsystem. When static is used without the quiesce keywords, TRA locks each record when it reads it and holds it for the duration of the list processing. With the quiesce keyword, it may be used with static. It quiesces all activity to the recons during processing. Other DBRC instances cannot access the recons during this time. Since all other activity is quiesced, locking is not needed to provide integrity or consistency. So quiesce reduces the overhead of the list command since it eliminates locking. You should consider using quiesce when the list command will read many recon records. During the quiesce process, batch jobs and utilities which use DBRC wait even if they are not attempting to access the recon. The default of concur or static for the list command is set by the change recon list command. When recons are upgraded to version 10, the default is set to static, and the QAS keyword cannot be set by default. And that's basically what you have today. On to slide 28. This is an example of some of the output of a list recon command. The line which includes the listing of the recon concurrent indicates that this listing was produced with the concur option. In this case, the list command included the concur keyword. Near the middle of the example, there's a line of access equals parallel, list equals static. This indicates that TRA is active for this recon and that the default of list commands is static. At the bottom of the example is group ID equals GPB. GPB is the DBRC group ID used for this set of recons. Now on to slide 29, and we'll review the latest STEs that have been put out using DBRC. We put out two STEs that went out for high availability, larger database, online reorganization. The two APARs are PK54615 and PK54616. And the changes that occurred with these is we will record the information about OLRs when OLR has been terminated. DBRC changes include changes to the partition database record, where we're going to list the OLR byte segments and root segments moved. The online reorganization record will include the total number of wraps or the total number of roots that's processed. We include change.db commands to set or reset that information in case you would need to. Normally, you wouldn't need to do that. And we also have new fields that are returned with the DBRC API. And the benefits for this is that users have information regarding the OLRs when they're terminated to know when they want to restart the OLR and other information like that. To slide 30. We've done two DBRC change accumulation STEs. The first one is under APAR PK53223. It removes the changes. It removes change accumulation utility failures due to recon contents changing. And the recon contents changing is, let's say, maybe a new image copy, an old switch, or a new LDD reorganization, or an offline reorganization has run since you've generated that JCL. Prior to the STE, those jobs would fail with DSP 7 or 0711 message saying invalid purge time. Now DBRC will allow the generated change accumulation JCL to run as long as it verifies. That means that if it's got the proper logs so that DBRC doesn't find any inconsistencies with the logs that were included based on that particular purge time that's in the JCL that's submitted. And during the change accumulation execution, new messages will be issued. If DBRC finds that the later purge time is available, it will give you a new message, and it will still continue. The new messages are just an informational message saying that here's what I found, but I'll keep on processing. Unless it finds that there's an error, whether it's a log missing or there's changes that are later in the log for after offline reorg, then it would fail later, but it will fail for other reasons, and you'll get new messages. So the benefit of the changes we made to the change accumulation process is to minimize the disruptions due to those outages where somebody had to look and figure out why the job failed. On to slide 31. The second change of key in SPE is PK73660, and it provides notify.ca PIP support to add a change of cume that was generated outside of IMS into the recon. We have a new type of CA. It's called a PIP CA. The error flag is always set on, and DDRC won't use this for recovery because DDRC, the vanilla utilities, can't use it. The runtime and stop time are not switched when a PIP CI is recorded in recon. Normally, when you invalidate a change of cume, we flop those two times. But some of the requests that we've come in, they wanted to be able to record a PIP CA that's done in real time. So one of the other things we do when it's recorded, we don't delete later CIs. Today, when you add a new CA in the recon, any later CAs are deleted because there must be some reason you don't want those. So if a CA record with the same stop time is already in the command, though, then we fail because there's got to be a reason something's wrong. And if you try and do a change.ca to invalidate a PIP CA, it's going to fail because it's not going to let you change the status of that record at all. DBRC will always have it as an error, which is the invalid. And the DBRC API also will return the new flag to indicate the CA is a PIP CA. And so we've had requests on that just from a lot of vendors. Let's go on to slide 32. IMS version 10 operates under ZOS 1.7 or later. The use of DBRC parallel recon access also requires TBS, which is a separate orderable feature, and we will consider special bids. And if you plan to use the database image copy 2 DFSMS fast replication support, it requires ZOS 1.8. On to slide 33. Now I'll review what's new in the IMS database recovery facility. And Mitchell will be available later for questions and answers. On to slide 34. IMS database recovery facility has high-performance IMS database recovery solution. You can recover multiple DBDSs in a single job step. You can do multiple address space architecture. It uses parallel processing of input and output, and it uses a single path of log and CA data sets. It's integrated with other IMS tool products, such as high-performance image copy, high-performance pointer checker, and high-performance FastPath utilities, the index builder, Preco. It's a one-step processing for all utilities instead of one step for each utility. On slide 35. It has recovery options that include even recovery to the end of the log. This would be when we're doing full recoveries. It uses an image copy in the logs and change of cumes, or a mixture of the two. The DBDS must be unallocated at the recovery time. For timestamp recoveries, you can recover to a specific time. It uses image copies in logs and or change of cumes, and the DBDS still must be unallocated at the recovery two time. Now you can do a point-in-time recovery, which is recovery to any point in time. It uses image copies and logs or change of cumes or a combination of the both. The DBDS may be allocated or unallocated at the recovery two time. But only committed updates are recovered. And you also get a list of open units of work that are reported when you run. On to slide 36. This is a one-button recovery solution. During the recovery phase, you can also run IMS the image copy, which will produce image copies as part of the recovery processing. The image copies are registered with DBRC, and they're block-by-block image copies. Pointer checker is also done using IMS High Performance Pointer Checker or High Performance Fast Path Utilities GDB Pointer Checker. It's a hash checker pointer validation that's run as part of the recovery processing. Block by block pointer checker not post-process. In the post-recovery phase, you can run the IMS Index Builder to build the primary and secondary index data sets during the recovery process. IMS Index ILDS Rebuild Utility, PRECO. The HALDB primary index and indirect list data set can be rebuilt. On the slide 37. It also will create copies of database data sets without accessing production copies. Input is prior to, is a prior image copy plus the logs and or change account. Copies can be created to any point in time. We also have incremental image copies, which creates a new image copy using a prior image copy plus the logs and change account. Production database is not accessed. The image copy can be either a batch or concurrent, depending on the state of the database. The image copy can be created to any point in time, and it requires IMS high-performance image copy. Another feature is the automatic delete, define, and database data sets. The output data sets are created as part of the recovery process. And then you can also allocate or open options to start verification. That means that logical and physical validation of data set availability prior to running the actual recovery job. And now I will hand it back to the operator.
Thank you, Sally. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live Q&A session with the presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Question 1, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. Please vote now. And again, if your level of satisfaction was high, press star 1. Medium, press star 2. And low, press star 3. One moment, please. Question 2, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Again, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. And if it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Please vote now. And one moment, please. Question 3, what version of IMS are you currently on? If version 10, press star 1. If version 9, press star 2. If version 8, press star 3. If version 7 and below, press star 4. Again, what version of IMS are you currently on? Version 10, press star 1. Version 9, press star 2. Version 8, press star 3. And if version 7 and below, press star 4. Please vote now. In one moment, please. Question 4. For those not on IMS 10, what is your planned use of IMS 10? If you plan to install IMS 10 in the next 6 to 12 months, press star 1. If you are interested in moving to IMS 10 within the next 2 years, press star 2. If you are not interested in IMS 10 at this time, press star 3. Again, for those not on IMS 10, what is your planned use of IMS 10? If you plan to install IMS 10 in the next 6 to 12 months, press star 1. If you are interested in moving to IMS 10 within the next 2 years, press star 2. If you are not interested in IMS 10 at this time, press star 3. Please vote now in 1 moment, please. And question 5, our final question. We hope you have enjoyed today's teleconference. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. Again, we hope you enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. 1 moment, please. And that concludes our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at any time. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to our speaker while we wait for today's questions.
I'd like to thank everybody for coming. Anybody has any questions, we'll take those.
And as a reminder, again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. And at this time, I show that we have no questions today. I would like to turn the call back to the speaker for closing comments.
Thank everyone. If you have any questions about version 10, you can always send me an email. My email address is on the front of the presentation. Thank you much. Bye.